take your Bibles. Hey, take your Bible. All right, take your Bibles. Amen. Well, you know, I can honestly say,
is it always like this?
Always. Okay. I can honestly say I do not get that reception in our church, all right? I appreciate that. I know that I appreciate Brother Collins and what he just said there a minute ago. Our church, we have an election coming up this year, and we had 16 delegates elected to the Mesa County Assembly from our church, and we feel the same way, that we want to affect change in our political environment. Where we come from, it's a pretty conservative area. We want to keep it that way, and it's important to us. I'm pushing, there's two fellas in our church, I'm pushing them really hard to run for office. I'd like to see one become the Mesa County Sheriff, and I'd like to see the other one be on the Mesa County board there, just part of the county board. And I think it's so vital that we are involved. I do think that's very, very important. That's a record for us, 16. And we have 9 that will, so that's Mesa County Assembly. Then we have 9 going to represent our county at state. And that's for the grassroots. That's where you get, being one of those delegates, you get to vote on who represents you in the state of Colorado. And now, if you know anything about Colorado, California's got nothing on the state of Colorado. We are the most liberal state in all of the union, I believe. But the area that we live in, it's kind of conservative, and we want to keep it that way. It's a little haven, if you will. I appreciate Hiles Anderson College. You know, Brother Froelke and I, we were walking down the hallway back over here, and I told him 38 years ago in that hallway right there, I told my wife I loved her for the very first time. And yes, it's what memories, you know. All the things I remember at Hiles Anderson College, that's the one thing I remember. No, not kidding. Just kidding there. But what a lot of memories I have here at this place. And I just can't emphasize enough how Hiles Anderson College, Dr. Jack Hiles, changed my life. And just some of the principles that you're getting in your life, if you will employ those principles, I just want to encourage you, you will be successful. You will be successful. I was here for 2 years, and then I went back in the military and had a desire to fly, and went back in the military, flew Black Hawks for a few years. And when I was going to flight school, the things that I had learned, hey, listen now, the things that I had learned at Hiles Anderson College, I employed and put into practice when I went through flight school. So when I graduated flight school, I got the Sterling Silver badge that you wear. I was the distinguished graduate of all my flight class. And that's a pretty big honor. That's a pretty big honor to get that. And it was just because I just learned the things that will help you be successful from the Word of God, the teaching of Dr. Hiles and Hiles Anderson College. And you can be successful too if you employ those things also. I appreciate this place. I appreciate your pastor. We had him out speaking for us just 2 years ago, and spoke at our couples retreat, and we kept him over and had him preach for us. And to preach for us, you know, you're pretty busy with couples retreat. We got him preaching all the time. And then on Sunday, you preach 2 services in the morning. We had him do Sunday school and then the evening service. I think he's having a little payback for me with the number of times I'm speaking here. But what an honor. What an honor to be here, all right? And I'm thrilled to be here. And take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter number 3. And I want to be a blessing to you, obviously. But I want to give you something that I hope will stick with you a little bit. Now, you probably heard a message along these lines before, but you've never heard Tom Barlament preach a message along these lines before. And so I just want you to be fresh, and I just want you to not get ahead of me and just listen, because I do believe that just with the truth that God gives us in His Word, you can be helped today. And that's the desire. If you would just stand real quick, Colossians chapter 3, verse number 15. We'll read one verse. And we'll notice here, Colossians 3, verse number 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And then notice the phrase, and be ye thankful. And be ye thankful. I believe that the Bible is a practical book. I believe if you just put into play the principles of the Word of God, you'll be successful. In Colossians chapter 3 here, through much of the chapter here, it's instruction to the believer to employ truths that will help you. It's a very pivotal book. It's a very important portion of Scripture. And tucked in the middle of it is, and be ye thankful. And be ye thankful. I'm afraid that we get so busy with life and we get so caught up with so many different things that are going on around us that we fail to see the working of God in our life, and therefore we're not as thankful as we ought to be. So let me preach here in just a moment, and I hope that you will be helped. That's my desire. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we ask that you would meet with us. I pray that you would fill me with your Spirit, Lord, more than anything else. I only want to say those things that you would have me say this morning. And I pray for the hearer, Lord. I pray that you'd speak to hearts today. Change us from a simple truth, a practical truth that we need to employ in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In Psalm 100, verse number 4, if you look there real quick, Psalm 100, verse number 4, the Bible admonishes us to be thankful. Every time we go to church, we ought to be thankful. Every time we come to a chapel, we ought to be thankful. Psalm 100, verse number 4, the Bible says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Every time you go to church, you ought to say, hey, thank you, Lord, that I get to go to church today. There were many years of my life I didn't get to go to church because I didn't have any desire because I didn't know the Lord. But once I got saved, let me tell you, I was excited about going to church. And now even pastoring the church, I'm excited about the opportunities to be at church. And I will say I'm thankful for every opportunity I get to be at church. We ought to come to church with thanksgiving. The Apostle Paul, when he penned Colossians, he was a prisoner in Rome. And he was limited in his liberty by the chain that he had between him and the prison guard. His ministry was curtailed because he wasn't able to get out and about the way that he had in the past. But yet you find all through the writings of Paul that he was a man of thankfulness. And because of that, he was a man of joy, as we would read in Philippians. And so Paul was thankful. Paul was thankful for those men and women that stood by his side that were not fair-weather friends when things turned against Paul. They were still there to be with him when they could, and obviously to pray for him in his need. Paul was able to continue, even though he went through so much, and obviously beside the Lord Jesus Christ, you read in the Bible, maybe Job, but Paul went through a lot also in his life. But in that, he always maintained a thankful spirit. And I believe because of that, God blessed him. And God opened doors for him because he recognized that it was because of the Lord that God was working in his life, and Paul had a thankful spirit, and he's reminding us over and over in the Scripture to be thankful. You read again about Paul's writings or in Paul's writings, and you find him saying something about which to be thankful for. But we have a greater example than the Apostle Paul in the Bible when it comes to being thankful, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ was also thankful. Could you imagine on the night he was betrayed? He had gathered his disciples together and he had implemented the Lord's Supper. And before he broke that bread, which was symbolic for his broken body, it was symbolic for the truth of what he was going to have to go through, the cat of nine tails upon his back and the terrible beating that he was to endure, the crown of thorns that were placed on his head. The Bible says in Isaiah, and I'm sure you know, that the Bible describes that his visage was, his appearance was marred, and such a way that you couldn't even recognize him as a man. He was beaten and battered so bad. And then, of course, the nails that were driven into his hands and into his feet. But before he broke that bread, which we are to do in remembrance of him and remembrance of that great sacrifice, what did he do? He gave thanks. He gave thanks for Calvary. He gave thanks for what he was going to go through for you and I. And that's a testimony, but it's also very clear as far as the practicality. If Paul and Jesus, our Savior, went through so much, we too ought to be thankful. We ought to be a thankful people. And so let me give you just a few things here this morning that you ought to be thankful for. Number one, be thankful God uses the humble and the weak. Hey, be thankful God uses not the proud and not those that have it all together, but God wants to use the humble and the weak. Look with me in 1 Corinthians, if you would, please. 1 Corinthians, and I preach, we look at the Bible, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 27. And again, we're familiar with this. You've probably heard a message, if you've been saved for any length of time, along these lines. But we know that the Bible is true, but the Bible is practical. And in that, we see that God uses the humble and the weak. And we ought to just be thankful that he would use someone like us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen, notice, the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. You know, some people can boast in their pedigree. They can boast in their name. You know, when I came to Hiles Anderson College, I didn't know anybody. Nobody knew me. I was a first-generation Christian in my home. I was the first of my family to get saved. And of course, I was out of the home. I was in the military, and so I had to go back, and I began to witness to my mom and my dad, my grandpa, my grandma, my brothers, my sisters. I began to witness to them, but nobody knew me. Nobody knew me. Nobody knew who I was. I just showed up here because, you know what, I just believed that God was going to use me in some way or in some capacity, and that's the way that we ought to come in our ministry mind. And in our servitude is, hey, I'm just weak and I'm not a whole lot of anything. And you just come with a humble spirit, and then what you ought to do and recognize is be thankful that God doesn't go by your last name. Be thankful that God doesn't care about who your mom and dad are. God wants to use you just the way you are, and you ought to be thankful for that. Hudson Taylor, the founder of the China Inland Mission, knew the secret of strength through weakness. Complimented once by a friend on the impact of the mission, Hudson answered, "It seemed to me that God looked over the whole world to find a man who was weak enough to do his work. And when he at last found me, he said, 'He's weak enough, he'll do.' All God's giants have been weak men who did great things for God because they reckoned on his being with them." I'm just saying, be thankful that God uses the weak and the humble. In Matthew chapter 11, verse number 25, and I should hear pages turning. Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 25, all right? Let's see what the Bible says in chapel. We got chapel at our school, and if I see someone not looking in the Bible, I send them down to the principal. Amen? Matthew chapter 11, verse number, I've always felt this way. Again, when I got saved, I wanted to know what God said. Show me in the Bible what God says. I always say this. You don't want a preacher that's going to always throw fastballs by you and never use Scripture. You want the Bible being used. Amen? Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. Notice what we say here. And what time Jesus answered and said, "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and hast revealed them unto babes." The weak. The little babes. The humble, just folks surrendered to the Lord. I don't know who said this, but they had written this down, and I found this as far as an illustration. The true way to be humble is not to stoop until you are smallest, you are smaller than yourself, but to stand at your real height against some higher nature. that will show you what the real smallness of your greatness is. We need to be humble. We need to serve the Lord in weakness, because through our weakness is His strength. And He can show His strength. And so repeatedly in the Bible, we see God, He abases the proud. He puts down the proud and He lifts up the weak and the humble. And I just say to you, listen, if you don't get anything else out of this, just understand this. God can use you. When the Lord allowed me to pastor Landmark Baptist Church in Grand Junction, when we moved out there, we didn't have anything. We didn't have anything. We didn't have a hymn book. We didn't have a chair to sit on. And God forbid that a Baptist preacher would start a church. We didn't even have an offering plate. Now, how dumb is that? But anyway, that's how we started. And God began to bless our church, and God began to expand our ministry, and people started coming, and people started to get saved. And again, we didn't have a church building. We started in a room just a little bit, probably twice as big as this platform area. That's how we started. We went up to a dance floor. That's where we went from there. It was a ballerina dance floor, amen? And it was so funny because, you know, they built them. Did you like that? They built the stage up, you know, a little bit. And when the ushers would come, you could see the heads of the people move up and down as they moved on that floor in there. And I remember we went to over 100 on that wood floor. Amen. And with mirrors on the side. And we just had a great time in there. I'm just saying, in the beginning, you know, we were weak and humble. And I learned something there. I want to be thankful for being weak. Amen. I want to be thankful for being humble. We went into our first church building. We rented a church building that was from the Southern Baptist there in the city, and we didn't have any money. And I went to him and I said, look, I said, we don't have a whole lot here. What would you do for us just to help us get started? And it was a Southern Baptist group of folks, and they asked for my doctrinal statement. And this is what the guy said to me. He said, Tom, he said, the difference between your church and our church is you're still practicing the same doctrinal statement that we hold. That's the difference between the independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist people and those of the Southern Baptists, all right? Anyway, we went in there. We grew there. We merged with another church later and actually owned our own church building. We sold that building. Before we sold that building, we had to drive. We would do our Sunday school, and then we had to drive 3.5 miles to church. We did that. It was like a funeral procession going to church there from our building. We went into that building, and then we gutted out some area, and we went from a nice church building to a little chapel area. I'm just saying, we started off so weak, so little, and just getting going. And we bought that. It was a 33,000 square foot building. Right now, today, we're building a 18,000 square foot gym auditorium. We're going to be as big as Walmart, amen. But you want to know what? It's just because we decided that we were going to be thankful, amen, for those weak and humble beginnings. And God's been so good to us. Number two, be thankful God uses the small and the insignificant. That's what God uses. Look with me in Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. When Jesus was going to make his triumphant entry into Jerusalem, he didn't come in riding on a war horse. He didn't come in with the band and anything like that playing. The Bible tells us he rode in on the colt of an ass, on a donkey that had never been sat on before. He came in on something small and insignificant. Small and insignificant. Look with me in Luke chapter 19 and verse number 30. Saying, go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do ye loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. You know, all throughout the Bible, you'll find that God used the small and insignificant. You think of David in the Bible. He was just a teenager, not far removed from your age. And you know, the preachers like to say this, you know, the children of Israel are on one side and the Philistines are on the other side. Goliath would come down into the valley and he would curse God. And the children of Israel said, he's too big. David comes on the scene and he looks at Goliath and he says, he's too big to miss. Too big to miss. And a little teenage boy with a stone took down the champion of the Philistines, a small and insignificant young man. Let me tell you something. I can't remember where I was seated. I was a freshman at Hiles Anderson College. And I remember sitting in, it wasn't chapel, but I do you still do it, where the seniors come and preach at graduation, before graduation time. And I sat back there and I said, there is no way I'm ever going to be able to do that. There's no way I'm standing up in front of that many people and going to preach a message. And I began to have doubts. And what I should have realized is I should just be thankful for being small and insignificant. And you're here this morning, you don't think you can. I'm here to tell you, you can. Because God uses the small and the insignificant. God uses the small. And I say this to people all the time. My wife says to me, and we've sent out, I got three churches in our area that I have. Two of the pastors there came from our church. They were staff men, and we started different churches in our area. There's another man that's north of me, about an hour north of me. I was helpful in getting him into that church there, because I believe you need to reach an area. Amen. You need to reach an area for Christ. But I always say this to people. My wife says, you make it look too easy. And it's not easy. But if you'll just remain weak and humble, if you'll just, in your own eyes, see yourself as small and insignificant, God can use you. And here's what I'm saying to you. If God can use me, he can use you. He can use you if you just stay thankful that God uses the weak, the humble, the small, the insignificant. You think of it all throughout the Bible. All throughout the Bible, you read of Gideon and his 300 that took out 135 enemy soldiers. It wasn't big. You think of the lad that had the five loaves and the two fishes. It was small. It wasn't Bobby Flay, amen. It wasn't Guy Fieri. You need to watch those cooking shows, amen. It wasn't Ferrari, whatever his name is. Anyway, the spiked-haired dude. Anyway, he didn't look for a top chef or anything like that. He just used a little lad. Small and insignificant. And he used him. There was a man who was very sick, and if there is a time when a man feels that he cannot do any work for the Lord, it is then. While this man was sick, he heard that a man had fallen overboard. He was wondering if he could do anything to help save the man. He laid hold of a light and held it up to the porthole. The drowning man was saved. And when this man got over his attack of sickness, he was up on the deck one day and was talking to the man who was rescued. The saved man gave his testimony. He said he had gone down the second time and was just going down again for the last time when he put out his hand. Just then, he said, someone held a light at a porthole, and the light fell on his hand, and a man caught him by the hand and pulled him into the lifeboat. Just a small and insignificant act of putting a light up to a porthole saved the life of a man. And you know something? I'm thankful for the people who had influence in my life. And they viewed it as small and insignificant, but not to me it wasn't. I'm thankful for the discipleship of Don Stiller, who was a graduate of Hiles Anderson College, who invested himself in me and just helped me get a fire, amen, for doing something for God. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the small and insignificant. There's no job you'll ever do that's small or insignificant in the work of the Lord. There's no work that you're going to be called to that is too small or insignificant. There's no duty. There's no soul that you'll ever save that didn't matter. Might be small and insignificant in your eyes, but not in God's eyes. Not in God's eyes. When Spurgeon was a teenager, he served as an assistant teacher in a school in Newmarket, Cambridgeshire, kept by John Swindle. The cook in the house was Mary King, a devout Christian with strong beliefs. When Spurgeon was experiencing deep conviction, he talked with her and she explained what she knew of the word. Spurgeon wrote later, "From her I got all the theology I ever needed." Now, most of us here would say, "I know who Charles Haddon Spurgeon is." But how many of us would say, "I know who Mary King is"? God used a lady to impact the life of Charles Haddon Spurgeon that he said that she gave him all the theology that he ever needed. I'm just saying, God uses the small and insignificant. Be thankful for that. God uses the weak and the humble. Be thankful for that. Number three, be thankful. God will use anything turned over to him. Go back to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, we'll continue this story here, but pick up in verse number 32. "And they that were sent their way and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, Why loose ye the colt? And they said, The Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon." Notice that little phrase, "The Lord hath need of him." The Lord hath need of him. Can I say to you this morning, I believe this with my whole heart. The Lord has need of you. John the Baptist said, "He must increase, but I must decrease." Because John the Baptist understood that he wasn't going to be around forever. I turned 59 this year. Wish you were singing happy birthday to me. No, just kidding. I don't want any more birthdays. But I'm not going to be around forever. You're going to be the next generation. The Lord hath need of you. Just remain humble and weak and small. Remember, it was Saul. He did good when he was small in his own eyes. God's got something for you. You're the next generation. And you need to understand that. So what do you have? You've got the talent that God gave to you. You've got time. If you give that over to the Lord, God will use you. And God will take that and he'll multiply what he has for you. I believe this, the nation, our churches, and the individuals that we will come in contact with, this group of people here and other colleges and different folks all across America, but it's the group of people that have a Bible. It's the group of people that believe in New Testament Christianity. Winning souls, seeing souls baptized. We're the ones that will make a difference. We're the ones that will change our country. But we have to be willing to give ourselves to him. To give ourselves to him. And number four, and we'll be finished here. Be thankful of this. Now, before I say this, I'm going to preface it by saying this. God is able. God is omnipotent. God is sovereign. But I believe this, number four, be thankful God needs you. He needs you. God needs you. And God wants to use you. God is looking for the humble and the weak. God is looking for the small and insignificant. God is looking for something that will be turned over to him and reminded of the reality that God needs us, meaning this, you have purpose. You have purpose. You might not have figured it all out yet, but God will hone in that will for you. And you just need to be willing to let God use you and be thankful for that opportunity. The Servant magazine, September 1993, an article was written, "The most unhappy person in the world is not someone who didn't get what he or she wanted. The most unhappy person is the one who got what he or she wanted and then found out that it wasn't as wonderful as expected. The secret of a happy life is not to get what you want, but to live with what you've got. Most of us spend our lives concentrating on what we don't have instead of thanking God for what we do have. Most people look at my life and they say, well, Pastor Bartlemy, wow, you graduate the top of your class. UH-60 Black Hawk pilot. I mean, wow, I would love to do that. I was the most miserable man on earth because I knew I wasn't doing what God's purpose was for me. You're where you need to be. You're getting the training you need to be so that you can be what God wants you to be. The happy life is summed up in knowing God and fulfilling the will of God, realizing the will of God and being able to do that in your life. Let me ask you here this morning here. If you've been called to ministry, or even if you haven't been called, but you think God may be calling you to ministry, I want you to stand up. Stand up. If God has called you to some ministry, can I say to you that are standing right now, God needs you. And you ought to be thankful that God called you. Because he could have called anybody. But he chose to call you. And you're important to God. And God needs you. Yes, I know that God could snap his fingers. And I know that God with his word could save everybody. But that's not God's plan. He started with his disciples, the early church, the churches of today, with surrendered people who just are willing to be thankful that they're humble and weak, that they just bring what they have, because that's all you can bring, and just say, Lord, use me. Lord, use me. Heavenly Father, I pray that these young people would understand and come to the reality that they are needed by you and that you want to use them in a fashion and in a way that will turn our churches, our communities, our nation, and even this world upside down with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we're thankful this morning to be called to ministry. We're thankful, Lord, that you have spoken to us and directed us here for training. Lord, I pray that each and every one of these young people would take that serious, be thankful for their call, but also understand the magnitude of what it means to be a servant of the Most High God. Lord, we love you. Thank you for calling us to ministry. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed, let's go ahead and stand this morning. Let's go ahead and stand this morning. If God maybe is calling you to ministry, why don't you just decide right now that you're going to live out God's purpose, God's will for your life, and be thankful. Be thankful. Be thankful. Maybe